I think it's being exactly what it is. And I think, again, if you know are familiar with Deadpool, that's exactly what you expect. He's sort of this maniacal figure. I think you're going to enjoy Deadpool for what it is. It's a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously. And that's what this genre needs more than anything.
Well, Crystal Bell, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Crystal Bell, pop culture writer for MTV News, talking about the new X-Men movie, Deadpool. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm David Green.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason here at my home, actually, in Mahomet, as we're headed out this afternoon to the Illinois Corn Growers Association for a special meeting, and we'll bring more to you about that during the closing market report. Be sure you tune in at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock. A quick note about things that are happening and upcoming. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. You can do that online at willag.org. The All-Day is the 8th day of March. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts plus four extras there for the day. It's a great show over at the Beef House, and the $30 buys the all day your meal at the noon hour from the Beef House, and Beef House rolls and coffee in the morning too. It starts at 8 o'clock Central Time. Be sure to get your tickets right now at willag.org, or just dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. We're looking at some cloudy skies today, a 20% chance of snowfall in the Urbana-Champaign area. It'll gradually clear out and turn sunny with a high of 26 this afternoon. This evening, mostly clear and a low of just 3 degrees. Wind chills at 1 below to 11 below. North-northwest winds at 10 to 16 miles an hour. In Chicago at this hour, futures are higher in the corn pit. The March contract at 361.5 is a penny and a quarter higher. May contract at 366.5, up 1.25, and December futures up 2 cents at 384.75. March beans 873, they're down a half. The May contract down 1, 876.75, and November bean futures at 887. They're down 0.75. Bean meal futures down $1.20 at 262.50. The bean oil, 37 cents higher at 31.96. Wheat futures March contract 458.75, a half of a cent higher. July futures down up at 0.75 at 469.5. And the hard red July at 466.25, up 2 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, February contract $130.65, 52.5 higher. Feeder cattle are trading the March at 151.82.5, up $1.57.5, and lean hogs for the day, $65.90. They're up 37.5 cents. Let's turn our attention directly to the market. Mike Zuzlow is with us. He's at Atchison, Kansas, in Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Todd. Happy Friday to you and everybody out there.
It was a great program yesterday we recorded for Commodity Week. Thanks so much for joining us for that. By the way, people can hear it this afternoon after the closing market report at 2:36 on many of our radio stations, certainly on our home station here at WILL AM 580. And they can get it online right now if they want at willag.org, willag.org. You guys did a great job. One of the things you talked about, and I wanted to spend some more time with you this morning, was the wheat market. You're really quite concerned about this market and the impact it might have more broadly across commodities.
Well, I mean, putting it into a broad brush, Todd, it seems to me that if you go back the last 8 to 12 months, crude oil and wheat, if you could take those two commodities out of the mix of the price action in this market, you would have a substantially different looking market right now. And I say that from a standpoint of the world supply demand. You know, in corn, even after USDA's report, world corn ending stocks are only up about 1% from last marketing year. And world oil seed ending stocks are up less than 0.5% versus the 14-15 marketing year. That's even though soybean ending stocks are up 4%. We've had other problems in Southeast Asia, like Malaysia and Indonesia and India, with some of these other major oil seeds that have actually been drawn down and take some of the sting out of the bigger bean supplies. But you have wheat now at 11% over the world-ending stocks, so the supply-demand looks bad. And then when you look at the wheat and the crude oil and you juxtapose that up against a dollar chart, you can see pretty clearly they have suffered the most from the stronger dollar. And I think this is why that wheat market continues to make me nervous, because what the wheat did as far as new contract lows this week and new multi-year lows in Paris milling wheat and then fresh 13-year lows in the crude oil does not bode very well for the commodity complex. And having said that, I think that the wheat is trying to carve out a low because the Egyptian issue has, I think, been fully priced in at this point.
Is it not the case that U.S. farmers have already addressed some of this problem? They, for instance, neglected to seed about 2.8 million or 9 million acres last fall that they would have seeded in previous years.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I will say, though, like on Commodity Week, what I was talking about and what Merrill Crowley was talking about was that we have reacted because of the price, but globally, the world doesn't have to react. The other world producers don't have to react as swiftly in the wheat as they do to maybe something like a corn the corn complex and production, because the cost of production being so much higher. The currencies and the durability of wheat as an agronomic, as far as a plant, makes it very, very competitive around the world. And so while I don't think, and I think USDA's report would support this, while I don't think supplies are getting bigger than demand at this point, and that supplies and demand are pretty much in equilibrium, it seems to me that the corn market would have a much more rapid decline in supply than the wheat market would, all things being equal. And I realized USDA took us to a new record high ending stocks number, but I think they went about that in a strange way by taking so much feed and food usage off the ledger for China and doing that in what may be a rearview mirror or past tense type feature to the supply-demand tables.
Am I right in thinking of wheat in this terms that it looks much more like corn around the world, corn for the United States, that is, that farmers in the U.S. are likely to plant corn one way or the other. They do move acres some, but not a lot. Around the world, they're more likely to plant wheat one way or the other. However, they do move in here in the United States because we're a secondary market for the export area, the wheat acres a bit more than other countries.
Yeah, I think that's a great way. That's the first choice around the world, whereas the first choice, if the price is right, because the yield and the production potential here in the United States for corn is our first choice in the primary corn belt. I will say that as I talk to you about this, I keep reminding myself the world demand for wheat is actually quite robust. The world, France just had a record month in December for their wheat, and they're up, I think, around 8% versus the last marketing year. Ukraine has been selling cargo after cargo of corn to China. It's not as though we have weak demand, and this is where the deflationary mindset in what's going on with the crude oil market is, and with the global economy and the financial markets, is quite a bit different in the ag sector. And I'm thinking that 2016 could be quite a bit different than 2015 if we would just stop propelling the dollar higher. The market would come back and realize that the ag sector in volume terms has been very strong in the wheat, in the corn, not just the soybeans. And now we're starting to see a real purchasing trend take hold with exports of pork to China. They were by far the number one buyer this week. Out of 26,000 metric tons, China bought 15,000 of it, and it took our four-week average on export sales for pork up 35%. So we have good demand in the ag sector. It's not like what we're seeing in the crude oil and in the steel market worldwide.
Any other things that we should be watching? I think soybean oil has been moving higher.
Yes, we've got a 10% rally in the crude oil market with renewed talk that we're going to see OPEC move in trying to at least maintain production and quit beating each other up in terms of supply. I think that has legs to it. I'm on the outside in the fringe in believing that, but when I see that Egypt is under a currency crisis right now, I think the Middle East is getting hit much worse than we are in terms of this low oil price. So I would watch that in the close. I would also say we're up on the week in soybeans, and we're only a nickel away from being up on the week in December corn. And so if the wheat market would not drag us down through the Paris milling wheat like we've seen the last couple weeks, we could have a higher close this week yet on a report week that looked pretty negative in terms of the fundamentals. So that would mean something to me sentiment-wise going into the three-day weekend.
We'll talk with you again this afternoon. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
That, of course, is Mike Suzzolo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone, headed to sunny skies later today, cloudy now. A high of 26 tonight, mostly clear, a low all the way down to 3 degrees. And tomorrow, sunny skies will go to a high of just 14 degrees on Saturday. Wind chills between 2 below and 12 below during the day tomorrow. So it's going to be a cold one on north-northwest winds at 6 to 10 miles an hour, dropping Saturday night to a partly cloudy sky and 7 degrees. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.